I live in Israel. This season is dedicated to the memory of the 1,400 of my countrymen who were massacred on October 7th and the 240 people that were kidnapped and are being held hostage by the terrorist organization Hamas. Hopefully they will be returned to their families as soon as possible, and hopefully this terrible war will be able to come to a peaceful end very soon. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 28 of Season 6 of Movie on Minute, the daily podcast where we take a Capra-esque journey through the 1946 classic, It's a Wonderful Life, one minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Lisa Leahy of the Rabbit Hole Podcast. Welcome back, Lisa.
Thank you, Rob. I'm excited to be here. We've made it to hump day.
Yes, we have. And aren't you on vacation already?
Or I am.
Yeah, there you go.
It's going way too fast. Way too fast. But, you know, I can't believe we're almost at the end of the year already. Can you stand it?
And that's true. But, you know, it's as I say with everything, it's better than the alternative.
That's true.
Yeah. It's the end of the world as we know it. You know, that type of thing. So, yeah.
Yes. At least I'm in some somewhat cold temperatures. A little warmer than it should be, but... I'll take it.
Exactly. Well, I mean, tomorrow will be the first day of winter. So you still have a little time to wait. Maybe tomorrow it'll get colder. Who knows?
Ugh, bring me the snow. Bring me all of the snow.
All right. So minute 28 begins with Mary and George still singing their duet and ends with George talking about male pattern baldness.
It's the most famous minute in the entire film, talking about this guy's baldness.
Yes. The truth is, it has my favorite line from the movie, so you know,
of course,
it still works.
It does.
So we ended things yesterday with George and Mary singing off key.
Yes, and with you singing off key.
Well, that was yesterday.
Some of that?
No.
Oh, we're not getting that twice from you.
I think I let people suffer enough yesterday through it. We're not going to start by it. So they finished their duet by saying "Dance by the Light of the Moon," and then I love the way that George continues, and in the same tone, in the same intonation of the song, he goes, "What did you wish for when you threw the rock?"
Hey, we did get some more singing from you.
Yeah, it's not really singing, but
I like it.
And she said, "Oh no, come on, tell me. If I told you, it might not come true." So you see, we talked about this yesterday, that she wanted him to tell her what his wish was. But when it comes to her, you know, maybe she just, you know, she doesn't want his wish to come true, but she wants her wish to come true.
And see, that's where I think it was going.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, she's not wishing for a bunch of things. She's wishing just for one thing. It's a big thing, but it's a thing.
That's right. And it's something that we pretty much know all the way. You know, we've known this for a few weeks, because even when George was a young boy of 12, mm-hmm. she whispered it into his ear. So
yes.
It's been 9 years, but she hasn't changed her ideas about that.
It's too cute.
And then he looks at her and goes, "What does he want, Mary? What do you want? You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down."
Mm-hmm.
"Hey, that's a pretty good idea. I'll give you the moon." Now, whenever I watch this movie or I listen to this phrase, so over the last 20 years, it has my thoughts on this phrase are completely changed. Okay, have you ever seen Bruce Almighty?
Oh yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you see, there
you go. Scene you mean? It's such a cute scene.
You know, the fact that he pulls the moon closer.
Yes.
And inadvertently. I never thought about this. He wrecks everything because I never knew or I never thought about the fact that the moon is connected to the tides.
Yes, it is indeed.
Yeah. So, I mean, because it's very interesting. You think about the fact that the, you know, any type of gravitational pull that is, you know, was it millions of miles away, but there's still that gravity that's pulling it, you know, and the and the gravity from the moon is what actually pulls the Earth is pulling one way
Tides in and out.
And the moon is pulling the other way and stuff like that. And you know what they basically do is they create what are known as high tides when both sides are pulling and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And then there is, of course, the scientific brilliant film 2022 from Roland Emmerich called Moonfall. Which is a big deal about what happens when the moon gets too close to the Earth. I mean, this is science at its very, very best, this film.
Yeah, that was it was a fun idea that just
such a mess.
It lost.
I love it.
It started off really well, and then it just really just lost it completely.
I love it so much. At no point did I think this was going to be a quality film, and I got every last bit of it that I wanted.
Right. I actually went and saw it in the theater.
Oh, I did too.
I wasted money on that one.
No, I think you gave money to a good cause to make sure we get more of them. I love a terrible disaster film.
Oh, I love them too, but you know, I don't necessarily need to see them in the theater.
The bigger the better. Although I can't do IMAX, it makes me queasy.
Yeah, I rarely see stuff in IMAX. I've seen the last movie I saw in IMAX was 1917. Which was amazing.
Oh, wow.
To watch it.
That must have been incredible.
That was like the second or third time that I saw it. I think it was maybe the second time. And I knew I had the opportunity to see it in IMAX, and I said, all right, I'm going to go do that.
Oof, must have been incredible.
Actually, you know what? I think I saw Oppenheimer also in IMAX, but that wasn't that incredible.
I love that film.
No, I love the movie, but I don't think
Not
I needed
to be seen that
I don't
way,
think
yes.
I needed to see it in IMAX. That was my point.
I hear you.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then he also mentions, that he's going to take a lasso. All right. Now, do you know other names for a lasso?
No, I guess I don't. I mean, I know it's the rope by which, you know, cowboys herd their cattle and rope their, you know, buckaroos or whatever it is they're doing. I have a friend, the state teacher of the year in Arizona, can use a lasso and was demonstrating it for us earlier this year.
There you go. That's what you do in space camp. You know?
Yep. Yes, exactly what we did. That's what he showed it to us.
I'm aware of that.
I told that story then too. Good grief.
No, you didn't tell the story, but I just
okay.
If you're talking about you meeting other was it toadies? What do you guys call yourselves?
I guess Stody, but I don't do that. Like STOY is what I use, but some of them say Stody. Yeah.
Oh, because it's state. Okay. State.
Yeah, teacher. State teacher of the year.
Uh-huh. Okay. Right. So I assumed that it was when you were in space camp, that which I'm still very jealous.
That actually was, but yeah.
Yes. And I know you got to go, you got to go onto Fenway Park, onto the field. I know all these things
yes,
you get to do.
I did get to do that. That was super cool too.
Yeah. But is it something you can only do once? You can only be teacher of the year once?
I think so. I can't imagine. I mean, it's not my turn again. Like that's taking
recognition
from somebody else who deserves it. You know, no, it's not that they take turns.
Hey,
but
this time it's
I don't think
turn.
It's fair for somebody to get it twice. I don't know. I mean, like I've been my school's teacher of the year more than once, but I don't think that as far as the state goes, that it should be the same person more than once.
Okay.
There are too many unrecognized teachers out there that I don't think that would be appropriate.
Okay. That's fair. But you're saying in your school, there aren't too many teachers that are unrecognized. So you deserve
to get
it numerous
times. I think there
are many
more unrecognized. Don't God. Stop putting words in my mouth, Robert. I think that there are certain years when people tend to do, you know, a big number of things. So
okay, that's fair.
You know, there were certain years where, like, I had done a lot of things, and I think that's why people nominated me. So
okay, that's fair. So back to lassos. Sorry, we got off the topic there a little bit second. So a lasso is also known as a riata or a lariat.
Oh, that one I've heard before. Yes. Lariat, I've heard before. I feel like that's in like Microsoft Paint or something. I think I got lariat from that.
It could be. I don't know.
Like cropping photos and stuff.
Right. So basically a lasso is made from stiff rope that has a noose that stays open. When lasso is thrown, And you can easily open it up while you're on horseback in order to release the cattle because the rope is stiff enough to be pushed a little. So yeah, there's a whole bunch of different
Makes
types
you want to
of.
push it forward to like,
Yeah, you have a whole bunch of different types of knots. You have what is known as a Honda knot, which is also considered a loop knot. You have an eye splice and a rawhide and a metal ring and stuff like that. It's like it sounds like all these different cowboy TV shows. These are the names of them. People use it in rodeos and other competitive events when you're doing cow roping and team roping and things like that. When you're
I mean,
or when you're a city slicker.
I mean, Jimmy Stewart did make a lot of westerns.
Yes, he did. He definitely did. How far back do you think the word lasso goes?
Oh God, that's a history con question. I have no idea. Let's say 1870 something.
Okay, well, the early 19th century, which is obviously around the time the cowboys started,
Okay.
it comes from the Castilian word lazo, which
I did not
basically
know that.
means a noose or a snare. Which is, and that goes all the way back to the 13th century.
Wow. I think I like the snare part better, although it's not really, when you think about it, both are very appropriate for the context.
Exactly. Because a snare, when I think of a snare, I think of something that's going to capture the
It's a
feet
trap.
and like a trap.
Yeah.
Like what happened in Return of the Jedi when Chewie wants to go, check out that meat, and they all end up in that snare.
Yep.
And
Yep.
almost end up as dinner for the Ewok. Yeah, so basically there are a lot of flaws in what George wants to do with the with this lasso in the moon, and he continues by talking about it, and he goes, "Hey, that's a pretty good idea. I'll give you the moon, Mary." She goes, "I'll take it." Then what? Well, you can swallow it and it would all dissolve. See? And the moonbeams would shoot out of your fingers and your toes and the ends of your hair. Am I talking too much? Now,
Yes.
first of all, before we even answer that question, he's just completely, going in just a very strange direction with this whole conversation. It makes no sense what he's saying about the,
No.
about letting it dissolve and it'll, okay, it'll,
It gets creepy.
yeah, exactly. That it's going to shoot out from your fingers and the end of your hair. Yeah, that's just and your toes. I don't know. She's like, who
Yeah,
is
this
this
is not
guy?
attractive.
That's right. How much did George have to drink tonight? I mean, it
Seriously.
is still prohibition, but still, But we know there was drinking at the party
Of
because
course, it
no,
happens.
well, Pa Bailey told them, told Harry that he can't drink, so. You could even a
Right.
little bit? Nope. And then we get the response from the old man on the porch after George asks, "Am I talking too much?" And he goes, "Yes." And this is my second favorite line in this movie is, "Why don't you kiss her instead of talking to her to death?" And he looks at him and goes, "How's that?" And do you think he really didn't hear him? Is it because of his trick ear, or is he just he, maybe he's baffled,
No, I think he didn't
or
hear
is
him.
he?
I mean, frankly, I heard it and I thought he said instead of tonguing her to death, and I went, wait a minute. And then he said it again and I went, oh, he said talking. That's not quite what would have been in this movie in
No,
that
no,
time
no.
period.
Well,
A little more appropriate
later
for
on,
what
there
we're
are some
talking about,
phrases
but
that he uses. He talks about necking, and she says making love. So,
yeah, that's true.
Very,
Scandalous.
very. Well,
No, I don't, because this is the first time they even notice he's
that's right.
there. So I don't think either of them hears him
That's right.
properly.
And then he says, "Why don't you kiss her instead of talking to her to death?" And George looks at him and goes, "You want me to kiss her, huh?" And he looks at him, and this is my favorite line of the entire movie. "Oh, youth is wasted on their own people." And then he just gets fed
It's
up.
so
He just
true.
gets fed up and walks out. So I looked up actually who this actor was. And one of the things also is very cool, if you pay attention earlier in this minute, you can see him like in the background, blurred, looking at them.
Aw.
Like
like
when he's
that.
talking about that he's gonna bring in the moon and stuff like that, the shot shows him in the background. So
Oh,
this
that's
is a
cool.
character played that the character's name is basically Man on Porch. The actor's
They really
that's right,
stretched for
the
that one.
actor's name is Dick Elliott, who was born in 1886, which means that when they made this movie, he was 60 years old. He
Wow.
actually looks a lot older than 60. I'm coming up on 50, and I don't think this guy looks 10 years older than I am.
But we are a very different
Yeah,
generation,
for
Rob.
sure.
Like we are all like everybody in our group, like none of us look our age, none of us act our age, and I think that has a lot to
Could
do
be.
with it. You know, this is a guy smoking his pipe. This is a guy who's probably worked a lot of manual labor in his day. You know, like I think it's a different
Right.
time period.
Okay. That's fair.
Didn't have our skincare
Ah, of course.
routines.
He passed out away in 1961 at the age of 75, and he has
Oh.
380 IMDb credits.
Look at him. Pretty prolific, this
Very,
guy.
very. And four things that popped out at me of movies that he was in or TV shows. He was in Mr. Smith Goes to Washington in a small part. He was in High
There you
Noon
go.
in a small part. Obviously, this movie. He was in Abe Lincoln in Illinois in a small part. And on the first season of Andy Griffith, he actually played the mayor, Mayor Pike.
Oh, my father
But
would have
he
known
passed
that.
away after that first season, and they just replaced the character with someone else for the second season.
Yeah, I guess you have to.
Yes. And he just gets completely fed up at this point and just goes in the house.
I love it. But that's even as like George is saying, you know, I'll give you something to
No,
watch,
and then
which is
as
really
he's walking
wonderful.
away, George tries to stand up for himself.
The worst way
That's right.
possible.
And Mary looks at him and is trying to stop him, from saying anything. And he goes, Hey, hold on, hold on. Hey, mister, come on back out here. I'll show you some kissing that'll put hair back on your head.
So great. She's mortified. I think that's a
That's right.
fantastic moment. It's like one of the few moments in this sequence where she's not in control anymore. It's like this is where the power starts to turn.
That's right. Because she just has no desire to really know what it is that, she doesn't want to be seen for this type of thing.
Well, she doesn't want somebody to watch. She wants a private romantic moment. This is not what she's looking
No,
for at
but she's
all.
just embarrassed that he's saying that out loud,
Yes. Of course.
That's what it comes down to.
That's not how it's supposed to go. It's not supposed to be some giant, you know, peep show.
That's right. No, but part of the whole thing,
Foreshadowing later
that's right.
events.
But part of the issue here is that, as we mentioned earlier this week, George has never experienced these things. He's maybe read about them, but he hasn't
Has
experienced
got
them.
no
Nope,
idea.
no idea whatsoever.
Right.
Which is just very interesting that's his comeback. I'll show you kissing that'll put hair back on your head.
Like, oh, good grief, guy. It's too good. It's too good.
That's right. Yeah, that's just very, very strange the way that is. It's also a strange insult to say to someone.
Oh, it's the worst. It's from somebody who doesn't know what he's doing. It's just this amazing thing where he's like, all right, here's what I'll do. I'll show you, guy. And it's like, yeah.
Yeah, but to say I'm going to show you kissing that'll put hair back on your head. I'm trying to think of like what is he, what is his intention by saying that?
I don't think he knows what his intention is. He's just trying to be tough and he's not
No.
good at it at all.
No, not at all. Even though he's pretty good at standing up against Potter throughout this movie.
Yes. Well, that's throughout the movie. You know, this is, you know, here he did here in the bank, he knows what he's doing. Here, he doesn't have the faintest clue.
True.
And so he's stumbling around a bit. But when it comes to logic and numbers and the family business, he's got something to stand on, you know.
Right. Okay, that's true. That's fair. Okay, so that's all I have for this minute. Do you have anything else you want to say about this minute?
I think we covered it.
You keep saying that.
I'm just gonna make it my
Okay.
refrain. I'm gonna change my name on X to be I think we covered it.
All right. So every Wednesday we have a segment called It's a Wonderful Wednesday. And the basis behind this segment is the idea that ever since this movie came out 77 years ago, there have been numerous movies, TV shows, books, even some songs that have taken the basic premise of this movie and try to make it their own and try and find something new, whatever. So every week I pick one of them and we talk a little bit about them. And I try to pick something that maybe my guests will have some connection to or will know about. Hopefully you do. This time I actually decided to go with something that's somewhat connected. It's not someone looking back at how their life, you know, how the world would be without them. But this is actually a movie from 1998 about what would happen if a character did something different. And, you know, how would that have affected their future as opposed to affecting the past?
Is this Sliding Doors? Look at me knowing things.
That's right.
I've never seen the movie, though.
Really?
I just rented it out to people at Blockbuster. I've never watched it. I know. I remember the cover box. I can tell you the box very clearly. But I never actually saw it, Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh, wow.
I'm wearing my Blockbuster shirt.
Oh, wow. Yes.
Like, I am very on-brand.
I can see that.
Today.
I can see that. Yeah, but the problem is now I'm going to talk about the movie and I'm going to give things away to you.
I know what the movie's about. It's fine.
Okay. I also remember that there was the music video that came out at the time. Like I was in the 90s, I was a big MTV person. So like I would see mm-hmm. all these, you know, video clips of that were songs that were used in movies and stuff like that. And some of them were really great. For Sliding Doors, the video was a song called Turn Back Time from Aqua. You know, the ones.
I do not
okay,
know
well,
this song.
Aqua did Barbie Girl. That's
Barbie
right.
Girl.
So
yeah.
This is a ballad that they had, which is just great. You should, if you get a chance, you should go and find it on YouTube. It's very simple.
Will.
It happens to be a great song. I listened to it again today, and it's just great the way they did it. And the video also is connected to the whole idea of the movie. So the premise of the movie is there's a character who played by Gwyneth Paltrow who goes to work one morning. You know, she leaves her boyfriend, goes to work one morning, and she ends up getting fired. And then as she's on her way back home, misses her train. And then the movie like rewinds slightly, and we see a way for her to actually get back on the train. And from that point on, we basically are watching two halves of a story, because it shows us mm-hmm. you know, what happens because she caught the train and what happens because she missed the train. You know, these two lives yeah. that she could potentially be living. You know, so because in the time when she actually does catch the train, so she gets home relatively early and catches her boyfriend having an affair, which changes her life completely, because here she just gotten fired. Now right. she's no longer in this relationship and she needs to figure out what to do with her life. And then in the other story that's being told, where she misses the train, so she ends up taking a taxi or starts walking, and then she gets someone attempts to mug her, and then she gets slightly injured. So a cab driver takes her to the hospital, and by the time she finally gets home, her boyfriend's ex-lover is no longer there. So she doesn't know that he's having an affair.
It doesn't find
but
out.
But now she needs to find a new job and things like that. So it's just very, I really enjoy the idea of the movie, because we all have that, you know, with, you know, in just about anyone's life, they think about what would happen had I chosen to go right instead of left, or what would have happened had I, mm-hmm. you know, and you know, the way that this movie presents it is just great, you know, because it,
yeah, I definitely need to see it.
I won't give away too much of the movie beyond that, because I mean the whole idea of her catching her boyfriend or not. That's obviously a very big plot point, but it's right towards the beginning of the movie anyway. So that really works. And it's nice the way that they have, these two different timelines that are running parallel, and they keep jumping back and forth between them. And they do a very clever thing that in the timeline where she catches her boyfriend, so she then gets her she gets a new hairstyle, gets her hair cut short.
As you do. That's apparently a
It,
thing we do.
I was just gonna bring that up. That is something that I find really, and I've always found that fascinating. The idea that women apparently, when they go through a really bad breakup, will get a haircut. And it actually, I recall it happened when I was going out with someone very seriously. This was 27 years ago. And when we broke up, she went and got her haircut. And it was just like, it just baffled me that this is what women do in order to move on with their lives. You have to change
Yeah,
something.
there's an interesting psychology there, I think. I think sometimes it's like whatever hairstyle they're wearing is typically something that their significant other really liked. So they're like, well, I'm going to take care of this. That way I'm not looking at you anymore. Or, it's just sort of like I'm going to shed sort of the skin idea. I don't think I've done it. I mean, I've had a couple of bad breakups, but I don't think I've ever been one of those people who'd be like, I'm going to cut off all my hair and I'm going to dye it purple or whatever. Like, it's never been really my psychology, but I certainly get where it's coming
Right.
from.
Okay. That's fair. There's actually a
Just like trying on a new
yes.
you.
There's a movie from 1990 called Love at Large with Tom Berenger and Ann Archer and Elizabeth Perkins, and it's a movie by Ann by Alan Rudolph. And I remember seeing this in the early 90s. So basically, the woman talks about how she wants to break up with either her boyfriend or husband. Doesn't really matter. So Tom Berenger's character says, "Look, just let him go. Wipe him out of your memory. Whatever you do, don't be jealous. You'll start hurting yourself. You'll feel guilty. Your hair, you'll cut your hair." And I kind of like it the way it is.
Yep, there it is.
And when I remember when I saw this, I was like, "This is just crazy that in this movie they talk about that."
It's a thing.
Apparently it is. And so in this movie they use it as a plot point in order to show which timeline we're dealing with.
Well, it helps. Yeah, it makes it easy to distinguish.
Exactly. And this the whole idea of sliding doors fits in with the whole Back to the Future 2 theme, of where you're creating a new universe that's skewed off the original one, based on your decision. It's a multiverse basically.
I
Oh,
like those ideas. I
I
like that
love
kind
those
of idea.
ideas. And I will not say that that Sliding Doors is an amazing movie. It's not. But it's got a great concept, and it works for what it's worth. And so yeah. So Lisa, this is your homework. Before next season, you will have seen Sliding Doors.
I will
There
do
you
it.
go. And again, I look at watch it for the concept, not necessarily for
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty easily accessible too.
There
It's
you
all
go.
over the place. Like Hulu's got it, Peacock's got it, Roku, Tubi, Vudu,
There you go.
everybody's got it. So I will have
There
no
you go.
trouble
Grab
getting
your
my hands on
husband,
it.
say we're sitting down, we're watching a movie, and and don't cut your hair. All right. Great.
Won't do it.
So, Lisa, you want to once again tell people where they can find Lisa Leigh?
Sure, you can catch me on the Rabbit Hole Podcast Network on shows like Pictures and Conversations, which is our Rabbit Hole Podcast book club. We pick a book every month and then we are discussing it. Pretty much what every other book club is, only we actually do read the book. And we're just beyond our wrap-up episode, and so next month we'll be talking about a new book for the new year. And you can also catch me on Between the Scares, in which Jason Soto and I are working our way through every film that Blumhouse and Jason Blum himself have produced. And thankfully, we are firmly into the horror films because he did some really terrible, mushy, strange movies. And I'm glad I'm not watching those
Yeah, but
currently.
you've already watched them, haven't you? So.
Thank God. But every now and then another one slips in there and it's like, dude, stop doing favors for people.
All right. That's fair. All right. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. And you can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. So until tomorrow, hot dog.
Hot dog.
I love you truly, truly dear. Life with its sorrow, life with its tears.